Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome, welcome, my All In listeners. It is yours truly, Savannah Murphy, with All In, where your story is authentically you, brought to you by the one and only Bashani Radio out of New York City. And they're always talking about everything, and at All In, so are we. You guys, you are lucky, lucky listeners today. We have Alicia Lowe, and for her friends, you can call her Allie, because at All In, we are friends. And so we have Allie with us. She's an amazing woman who has been on a journey just finding herself and has now ended up in this space of entrepreneurship. And she has got an amazing journey to share with us, and she's got some great software. It's Babu, and we're going to get into that. We're going to dive deep and kind of learn a little bit, a lot of it, all in with Allie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I really appreciate that introduction. I was so happy to find your show, and so I'm really excited to be here.
Well, good. Thank you so much. We are fortunate. The listeners really love to get motivated and get inspired. And your story is nothing short of all of those things. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you're doing right now, kind of how are we segueing into the now of Allie, the entrepreneur?
All right. So again, I'm here from the South. Right. So right now I'm in Atlanta, and I just kind of generally keep it at the South because I've been in several different places down here. I also was privileged and blessed to be able to go to Peru for 5 years. So that's way further South. And came back to the States a couple of years ago so I could kind of reset and try to go to Europe. And I made it out to Europe last year in January. It was January 15th. I was like, yeah, Europe. Finally. Was great. Yeah. I get in Italy January 20th. March, February. Somewhere between February 15th and March the 1st. Everything shut down. By April 5th, I was back in the States, 2 weeks of quarantine and living with my mother. And I was like, yay me.
Hey, it's something that COVID, it really directly affects everybody, but for right. This, it really derived your path.
Definitely. And so not just, you know, for the year, but literally for my life, because it's always been my goal to live internationally. And so, but with COVID and just how unpredictable it is, it seems like that I am going to have to adjust to life here in the United States. But I feel like I've been prepared for that because the last time that I experienced a really big reset was about 10 years ago, actually. I was coming up off of a corporate job in a car accident that totaled my car, ruined my mental, emotional, and physical health because I was suffering from PTSD. And it was so bad that I couldn't get a grip on my job. And so I had to give a letter to my boss and be like, I need to cut back. You know, this is not working for me. You know, what can we do? How can you help me? And even though I cut back and I continued to try to struggle through, it wasn't really coming together. So I prayed like I always do, you know, reached out to God and I was like, you know, what are we going to do here? Right. And, I wound up getting a full settlement for my insurance. I looked at that check. I looked at my choices. I bought an airplane ticket and I headed to Peru. And so,
well, that is something.
Definitely. Well, again, like I had been wanting to go international. And so fortunately, my mom wasn't as surprised this time around as she was the first time that I ran away down to Costa Rica for 3 months.
And oh my gracious.
That was awesome and amazing as well. But Peru, I was there for 5 years, and I really feel like that it saved me. It made me a stronger person. It made me a kinder, more compassionate person. And really, it just, it renewed my soul and my vigor for life. And it really was just because of the love and the compassion of the people down there. You know, Peru is a developing country. They don't have very much. I was settled in the Sacred Valley, and they don't have very much, but whatever they have, they share. Right. And so you go over someone's house, you know, and they are literally living off of $5 a week. Mm. And they would take out crackers and tea and serve that to you and talk to you. And you feel so connected in that space because you recognize the value of humanity. Right. And I remember that what really helped me to hold on there, I had a special friend. I called her Tia. Her name was Gladys Davalos, but I called her T. I did not speak Spanish, by the way. So I went down there. And when I would be feeling lonely, what I would do would be around about 7 o'clock at night. I'd go over to her house. I'd knock on her door and she would let me in. And she'd look at me. She speaks Spanish. I'd look at her because I speak English. And she's like, Kiri Coleman, you want to eat? So,
food is a universal language itself.
And she kind of sighed, Edie. We'd go running out to the store. We would come back and cook and eat. But really, the connection came with the sharing of food with other people. And so we would eat and kind of sit there and try to hold a conversation. And then, that. You know, after it was good to go, a couple hours, I'd go home. And I think I did that my whole first year. And it helped me. It helped me. I found, you know, they say that you can choose your family. Your family is not necessarily the one you're born with. It's the one you choose. And those people down there, that's my family. That is my heart. And I had the opportunity to connect with the children down there. Children have always been a great love of mine. And so I was able to volunteer at a school where I helped them establish their curriculum. And then I was able to bring in other teachers and then, you know, teach them how to compel the children towards English learning and really, you know, what it means to share another language and another culture, right? Mm-hmm. Most of these babies, they spoke Quechua, which is the actual language of Peruvians, Quechua, and some Spanish. And so we were working with three languages instead of two. It was a little bit of a challenge, but it was worth it. It was worth it. When you would see the click in the children's eyes, you know, you would see their enjoyment when they would, you know, learn a song or learn their letters, learn their words. It was something that was just, it was so compelling. And so I spent about 4 years in the Sacred Valley and then kind of 1 year in between home and Peru where I was going back and forth, kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do. And then I wound up back here, then Europe, then COVID.
Oh my gracious. So I want to just touch a little bit on that because it's so powerful. And I know that you lived it, but really for listeners to have that little nugget of takeaway. So, you know, you're in this accident and it kind of really just like shook you to your core. Mm-hmm. But with that, I love that piece of your story because it's almost the accident and this adversity and this like dark season in your life that gave you this key to unlock this door for, you know, travel and then ending up in Peru where it seems like so much of your growth and so much of you finally finding the answers to like who am I and almost like maybe you were in such a difficult season, but going there, it's so humbling because they have so little, but yet they will give that.
They give it all.
Yeah. And they're so loving. Right. And so I just think that that's such an important piece to your story that I don't want to, you know, just kind of lightly breeze over it. Because I think truly sometimes we find ourselves in these seasons of life mm-hmm. that it's like, how, you know, I mean, not that we're having a pity party, but it's just like, right. man, this just sucks. Like, this is not what I expected for my life. This is, you know, accidents, illnesses, mm-hmm. Depression, whatever it might be that we find ourselves in, you know, relationships ending, you know, death, all of these different things that us as humans go through. And here yours catapulted you, allowed you with, you know, funds from your accident mm-hmm. to take you to this journey
yes,
that now has led you into this, you know, kind of way of living your life.
Right. And
this,
exactly.
This love.
Mm-hmm. It gave me a solid foundation. I feel like that I returned with a great foundation and an amount of flexibility. That was present somewhat in my life, right? Because I did just kind of adapt. And one of the things that I took from that is that, you know, when you're living your life, things are going to happen. Nobody promised that this was going to be easy, that it was going to be fair, or that it was going to be simple. But you have to know how not to overstay your welcome when you're in a situation. When your life changes and it just kind of throws you into that space. You know, it's really important to step back, you know, evaluate the situation and say, you know, am I still benefited by this? You know, and am I still benefiting the other people around me? You know, and if you have been changed so much that you can no longer contribute, then you step away and find a new path. And so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And now COVID did this to me and I'm having to do it again.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that's essentially, I mean, it's really what I'm doing with Obabu, because Obabu takes several of my loves and combines it all in together. Right. So.
And explain that, you know, where that came from, obviously, you mm-hmm. know, with the children and in Peru and just that being a passion and a love for you.
Right.
In connect the dots for us so that we can really understand this, system that you've created.
Right. Okay, cool. So again, in Peru, I was teaching children and really connecting with them. Previously, when I'd been in the States, I was a nanny to the same family for about 8 years. Love them to death. Still talk to them. Went to their baby's graduation 2 years ago. They're not babies anymore, but I still call them babies. But I've always loved children and connected with them. It's probably because I'm just so jubilant myself. And so I love, you know, their imagination and their way of looking at the world. Mm-hmm. And really, I value that time that they have and that they're given, and that innocence that they have, you know, available to them, that opportunity, really. And so when I came back and we're dealing with COVID, I have a nephew. We're going to call him Matt for the purposes of this. Mm-hmm. And I was watching him because I love him so much. He is just, oh, he's precocious. He's a lot, but he's amazing. But I was watching him and I was seeing the way that COVID has affected him. He turned 4 as COVID was kind of rolling in. And that was a time period where he should have been able to go to pre-K, to make friends, to have those initial experiences, you know, outside of the world of his mom and dad, and really make those all important connections. But instead, he's at home with his parents,
right?
With the tablet and the television, you know, and he's this merry little boy that loves everybody and hugs everybody and is just so excited. And we really, we watched him decline because COVID shut him in. It's really sad. It's really, really sad. And so as I was watching this happen, I was like, what can we do? You know, what can I do? How can I help the situation? And I had to ask myself, I was like, okay, so I could go work for a family and I help them with their children, you know, and help them come through it. Or is there a way that I can do something bigger? And could I do more? And so Matt's mom had actually suggested this. She was like, you know what, we need to be able to connect and talk to other children online. That's what we need. And I was like, really?
Light bulb went on.
Light bulb. And so what I started doing, you know, I just kind of sat down. I actually put the idea away for a couple of months because I was still kind of hoping that I'd be able to get back out. But then once I kind of accepted that I'm here, then I was like, so what are we going to do? I was like, well, why don't we, you know, save the babies? Let's see how we can make that possible. And so Obabu is an online platform, safe and secure, created exclusively for children between the ages of 3 and 5. What I mean when I say exclusively is that we're not talking about, like, you know, some of the platforms have, you know, made themselves available for children, right?
Right.
But they weren't built with children in mind. Their functionality wasn't made for a child's brain and how a child is interacting with these spaces. And so even though children can take technology and in 5 seconds figure out what's going on, it doesn't actually help them because it's not on their developmental level. Right. So how can we take technology and turn it into something that is benefiting that child, that is feeding their emotional development and in such a way that they are progressing and they are moving forward? So that's what we aim to do. We are bringing technology to a child's level, and then we are using it to build them up, to establish that foundation that they so desperately need, especially between those early years of 3 to 5. You know, it's essential. That social development is essential. And so what happens with our program, our primary program, parents can choose between 3 and 5 days a week, right? And then they can choose up to 4 sessions per day. And we partition it up that way because honestly, even if it is a great platform, you can't get babies to sit in front of the screen for longer than about 15, 20 minutes. It's right. Just not gonna happen.
You've lost them at that point.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, well, this was fun. I'm going to go do this now. And so 20 minutes per session. And each teacher is an experienced educator that has already been teaching online. They already understand children. They already understand how to bring them in and connect them, right? But instead of it being one-on-one, it's actually 3 or 4 students in the same class. Again, focusing on that socio-emotional development. And so the teacher is really more so there as kind of like a facilitator, you know, and the kids are in charge and they're just kind of running it in between themselves, you know, and then the teacher comes and kind of encourages them along, really focusing on developing curiosity, you know, compassion and kindness. And between the core curriculum there, our real focus is helping children make those connections between each other. And so we are so excited. We'll have our core curriculum classes, and then we'll also have specialty classes that are going to integrate in art, science, dance, you know, and cooking, you know. So there'll be any number of various things that the children will get to choose as their specialty courses. And we'll also have additional activities on there that the children can enjoy either with each other or with their parents. And one of the things that makes me really happy is story time. And so any child that has a subscription to our platform, log in at any point and have story time. And so the teacher will be there, she'll be reading, and just children connected, right? But not just through the United States, right? World. This is an international platform. So we're helping babies not only connect with, you know, each other, but connect all over the world so that they can view the world not as a place to be afraid of, but as a space to explore and learn from, right? And so excited about that.
Well, you know, Allie, you know what you've done here. You've taken 2 of your loves and blended them beautifully together. Mm-hmm. Your love for children and your love for travel.
Yes. Yes. Because the world is a beautiful, gorgeous place. And really, you know, stepping out there and having that bravery to be able to see other people's cultures, other people's ways of thinking is a level of open-mindedness that some people don't have the opportunity to experience. But if you bring your children into that early on, right, then they will truly have the opportunity to demonstrate, you know, the compassion that is necessary to take them through life and to understand other people's perspectives and to truly, you know, lead and make the difference, make a larger difference in the world, right? Okay. And so super excited about that. Another thing, I'm sorry, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit.
No, you're fine.
I was in Peru. I spent about a year because I actually went there for the linguistics. It was funny. My friends were like, let's go to Machu Picchu. I was like, let's go listen to someone reading Quechua. And so I loved the languages. And so I kind of fell into Peruvian sign language. And I spent about 2 years learning Peruvian sign language, like as part of my mission.
Oh, wow.
And we would go and it took a lot of effort to find people who were hard of hearing or who were deaf. And it's because down there, because it's a developing country, you know, people who have those types of disabilities are considered shameful. And so you would have that baby. And then if the baby had a problem, they would all but disappear. Nobody would even talk about that child, right? So it would take a lot for us to be able to get them to admit that they have this child and then gain the trust of that family enough that we can now teach this child sign language, right?
Yeah.
And so I came to realize the importance of the ability to communicate because these people could not even communicate with their own families, you know, and they suffered a lot. Whereas, you know, here in the United States, you know, we do have programs for accessibility and inclusivity, right? But I want to make sure that that is something that I carry into every area of my life. Mm-hmm. And so along that, Obabu, hopefully by the end of this year, we will have programs that are set up for accessibility and inclusivity for children who are deaf or hard of hearing, as well as children who are on the spectrum. So that requires, you know, a special area of the platform, you know, so whether or not we have to like adjust the colors and the features and the controls and all of that. And then also, you know, specially prepared or, you know, who are trained to handle that. And so parents can come to us and, you know, let us know what they're dealing with and let us know what they need. We take the time to talk to them and really communicate about what those needs are and find the ideal educator for them and for their situation. And we create what is going to be called a private pod, mm-hmm. right? That allows their child.
For yes. the specific person.
Yes.
And now I have a question for you. Where did the name come from?
Obabu. So I love words. And I have a problem because I like to just create words. It makes me so happy. But one day I was talking to a friend of mine, a very, very close friend that I've come to love and cherish over the last couple of years. We were on the phone. We were talking about, you know, our future and what we were going to do, et cetera, et cetera. So we were talking about moving to New York and there's a city up there called Ramapo. Mm-hmm. Up there, right? And so Ramapo. So I'm talking to her about this and then she turns around and she's like, Obabu? I was like, what? She was like, Obabu, is that what you said? I was like, no, that ain't what I said.
Oh my God, that's funny.
But that is a great word and I'm going to write it down because I'm going to use that one day. And so I wrote it down and I held on to it and now I've turned it into a business. But what Obabu actually means and what it came to signify for me is, you know how, right? So this goes along with, you know, choosing your family, right?
Right.
That moment that you have where a friend becomes family, where you're dealing with a situation, you know, something is going on. It is the worst. It is terrible. And this person, you know, who's been in your life as a friend or an acquaintance shows up in a big way. They show up in a way that you were not expecting. And you look at them and you kind of go, huh.
Right.
And from that moment on, yes, your relationship takes on a different meaning. You know, it's a different feeling. Right. And when you're dealing with that person, they're really, they're your sister, they're your brother, you know, they're your aunt, they're your uncle, you know, because you can have friends all ages, right?
Right.
And so this friend of mine, she had become that for me. And so it made sense that I would take that as the definition of this word. And so it's really, it's just that feeling in your heart that when friendship changes from friendship to family. And I just think that it's one of the most beautiful feelings. Mm-hmm. I only have a few friends like that.
Well, I mean, it's almost like a shift of a relationship. And, right. And I think too, you know, for this, this word and this business to derive from that, it's like instantaneous connection.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're supplying for these families and for these children and, and for these teachers and for yourself.
Yes.
I love it. I think it's a great platform. I have a 12-year-old, but I also have a 3-year-old. And having that 9-year age gap, COVID has been very hard because, you know, what one can do, the other doesn't, and what the other needs, the other one doesn't. So a platform like this gives you that ability to really supply your toddler and your, you know, younger generation, younger child with an opportunity to be, to make friends, but also to be, you know, exposed to culture and to start to kind of develop amongst other children and also stay safe in
exactly
of where our world is. So, I mean, I love that. I think this is amazing. We're going to dive a little deeper with Allie here shortly, but right now we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City, always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome back, All In listeners. It's Savannah Murphy with All In, and we have an amazing guest today, Alicia Lowe. We call her Allie. Ababu is the name of the game. She has an amazing program that she has just has created and has taken her entrepreneurship to connect two of her loves, a love for travel and also a love for children. And so she's connected these two and grown herself in the process.
Definitely.
And,
most definitely.
And I think a lot of things too, is even if you don't have kids and you're listening to this, it's a huge thing to start to identify in yourself. What are the things that are passionate in me? What do I love? What do I enjoy? And how can you take that and intertwine those into an actual way of, you know, making money, an actual way of building a business, or even finding a career path that can have these two things in that. And so I commend you, Allie, and thank you so much for coming on and explaining in the first half of the podcast all about Ababu and how you found it and how you derived that. I recommend everybody go back and listen. But this second part, I want to just kind of dive a little deeper with, now you're an entrepreneur and now you have this program, right? This very technology-driven connection program. Mm-hmm. Do you have a programming background? Or like, what happened? How did that happen?
That's a great question. All right. So I've always wanted to go into business. And what's hilarious is that all of my ideas, literally since I was 10 years old, had something to do with the tech field. They were all tech oriented. Now, did I know anything about tech? No. Does anybody in my family know anything about tech? No. it was a barrier. It was a barrier. And I would try and I'd be like, but just this little part, just can't quite get there. So what I actually decided to do last year while COVID was ruining my life, I decided that I was going to learn programming. And I was doing the research. I was listening to the podcast. I was immersed. So I took on as an Amazon Flex driver. So I'm in my car, you know, doing my thing 6 hours a day and listening to Code Newbie and JavaScript
Gather. COVID, Amazon Flex Driver, and just learning programming people. No big deal. No big deal. I'm just going to become a programmer and make an amazing program for children to connect all over the world. Not a big deal. Just a quick 9 to 5.
Really not. So what I came to understand was the same thing that holds true pretty much in every area of life. Most of it, about 70% of programming, is about bravery. It is about if you are brave enough to step over here into this space where you don't know everything, where you don't understand everything, and where most of it doesn't actually make sense, and decide, I'm going to understand this, I'm going to pull this together, and it's going to work. And, you know, once you kind of make that decision, you know, and you decide to step forward, you know, then it all just starts to come together. You know, it's really, it's a decision to be brave and be courageous. And what helped me, again, talking about, you know, the foundation that I gained, I looked back and I said, courage has never been my problem.
Recognize that, because a lot of people, you know, we have this way of not being able to look back and give ourselves kudos and say, you know what, maybe I've
grown up on your previous experience
here, right? But yes, but courage is huge. So awesome. I'm glad that you recognize that. Obviously you got on a plane and went and lived in Peru for 5 years.
And so I look back and I would say, we can do this. All we have to do is just continue to be that same person. And another one of the things, so in listening to the podcast, and the podcasts are essential, so fantastic, because they bring in people who started with just a little bit and it blew up. It became a lot. You know, this person had one idea, you know, they sat down at their computer, they Googled it, and the next thing you know, bam, program, right?
Right.
And so it's not actually a lot. And they say important, essential things. One of the guys said, he was like, you know, even the senior developers spend about 40% of their time on Google. So that means that not everybody has, most people don't know everything. When you come in as a programmer, you are agreeing to be a person that is learning constantly, right?
Of course,
and so I took about 4 months and just delved real deep into JavaScript, just as deep as I had.
If there's something I'll never say in my life, it'll be, I will never dive deep into JavaScript. So you have no competition here.
I got to give it up for the libraries, though, because the libraries stayed open during COVID. You know, they adjusted, but they stayed open. And so these programming books are expensive. I went to the library. And I'm down here in the South. They had like 2 books on programming and they were from like 2000. I was like, this is not So I went to the computer and of course they do like the transfer thing. And I promise you, if I did not order every single programming book from all over Atlanta, I had them all coming down here to this library. Like, please just send me books. And so I would sit down and I would take a look. And I would go through there and just kind of process the information. I'd listen to the podcast. I'd write down vocabulary, you know, and I'm bringing it all together. Now, I'm not leading you to a place where I say, so I learned programming and I built this platform myself. No, that is not what happened.
No, I would be like, you're NASA. That's how big it would be. I'm assuming it takes a village. So
It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. What I did come to understand, though, is what it takes to build a platform, right? So the elementary knowledge that I had, I was able to take that and combine that with my business know-how and say, okay, so now I get how the tech applies to a business, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I can manage other people.
Right, exactly. So now you can take your vision,
right,
and actually turn it into reality. And
exactly.
You're like the driver of the bus,
right.
You got to fill the bus.
Yes, exactly. And so one of the things that it did for me is that it removed the veil, right? So when you're in the startup community and you're listening and they have the terms non-tech and tech, right? And so if you are a non-tech startup person, it's like you have to run for your life to try to find a tech founder. But If you have enough knowledge and enough of a foundation, you are not afraid of this world of technology. You're looking at this and you're like, so this is something that's doable.
Right.
I can reach out to other people. I can reach out to other agencies. I can speak to them in pseudo code so that they understand what it is that I need and I can get what it is that I'm looking for to build my company. So with that, I jumped off the bridge and I was like, okay, we got it. And so right now, our MVP is about 2 weeks away from being finished.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and that's how it's coming together. It's just like bravery.
But I think too, and this is what I want people to take, you know, obviously if you want to do a startup or have tech questions, we're going to make sure that Allie gives a way to, for everyone to connect. But everything starts with a season in life. Everything mm-hmm. starts with passion. Everything starts with a dream mm-hmm. and courage to right. go for it. And you've done all of those things. So before we wrap it up and I ask you the last two questions, I just want you to please tell people, how can they find Ababu? How can they connect with you? How can they follow, see all the things Allie and Ababu?
Okay, so Ababu, our website is obabu.io. Okay, it's .io. You type in .com, you're going to get something Japanese. It's .io.
Okay.
Okay.
So say it one more time for the listeners.
Okay. obabu.io.
Okay. And I'll link that in the podcast notes as well. And then how can they follow you, Miss Alicia Lowe?
We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram. And we are also on Facebook, okay? And on Facebook, we actually have a couple of different groups. On Facebook, we have a group for our parents, and we have a group for our teachers because we are currently searching for our educators right now. So if you're an early educator.
Opportunity, people.
Ma'am. Exactly. Very, very true. Very, very true. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just kind of going along. Okay, so Facebook is definitely a great area to connect with us. And because we're coming up on our pre-launch, we are going to have pre-launch specials, right?
Oh.
So we're going to be running contests and raffles and the best pricing that you will never see again.
You hear that? This is an opportunity, people. So we definitely want you to go and connect. You can always mm-hmm. reach out to me and I will get you any information and we'll make sure that you have that in the notes.
We're so very excited and we really appreciate this opportunity to hop out here and, you know, let people know. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
so much love and gratitude for you giving us the opportunity to come on here.
Of course. Awesome. I'm so excited. We're going to have you back and, you know, kind of revisit the growth of Ababu and of yourself.
Cool.
One last question for you.
Okay.
What does all in mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple of weeks ago, maybe it might not have been a couple of weeks ago, I read this article about this 18-year-old from England. And she decided, just out of nowhere, that she was going to row from England to the United States. And she did it, right? All
in. What kind of woman?
You know, I mean, she's 18. You know,
you're on the
all
bucket.
In. That's what it is. She was out there on that boat by herself in the dark, the real dark. Okay. Mm. Bravery, courage. It's there, right? And even if you can't see it, there are times in your life where you have been that person. So find that. And you can do anything and you can go anywhere. You know, bravery for me, it's all in for me. It's 200% dedication. You know, it's the willingness to complete that journey. And another thing is that you recognize that the journey is not going to be easy. You recognize that it's not going to go entirely the way that you want it to go, and that it's very possible that at the end of it, it's going to look very different from what you envisioned it to be. But every time you meet those difficulties and you're at that path of change and you're at that place where you have to pivot and decide, you keep moving forward because there's mm-hmm. something for you on the other side. There's something calling to you and you want it. So you reach for it. You're all in.
I love it. You are definitely all in, and we have been ababood, and we will look to see all the great growth for you and for this company. I can't wait to be a part of it. I can't wait to have my youngest Maverick really experience
this. We'll be looking for him.
I will definitely get back to the listeners and let you know, but we've been all in with Miss Alicia Lowe and Obabu, and we are all out.
Ciao.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.